Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Alleluia. God is so good. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sing to the Lord, for our God has done marvelous things. God is King, Jesus Christ. Be praised. These and others are the shouts of joy and of acclamation that ring out as we come together for worship. These are the exultations of our hearts as we lift our voices to give thanks to God for all God's love and goodness. These are the words that help us feel good. They remind us that we should keep a strong and positive outlook on life. In college, I took a few business classes. I thought I should probably round out my education, right? I wasn't quite sure if I really wanted to pursue this pastor thing yet, but I figured even if I did, a bit of insight into the workings of the real world wouldn't hurt. So Mr. Kinsey was the instructor for a particular marketing class that I took. He was a man who told us of all kinds of stories about his own career in business, how he made lots of money for himself and others, how he lived the fast life of travel and high finance and powerful people. Mr. Kinsey's was the life of hard work and prosperity, of shrewd and calculated business practices. He also told us about how he had lost virtually all of it because of his inability to manage alcohol as well as he could manage people and money. And I admired his willingness to be open and honest about not only his successes, but also his failings. It seems that he genuinely wanted to impart to us young and naive, burgeoning entrepreneurs a love for the quest of success, but also the dangers and the depths that awaited us. And when you fail, which you will, Mr. Kinsey would say, whether personally or professionally, you have only yourself to count on to pick yourself up and put yourself back on the road. And going on, he would say, but do not linger in the place of failure or recall it as a point of time to dwell on and beat yourself up. Rather, keep a positive attitude. When people ask you how you're doing, always respond, I'm doing great. Couldn't be better. How you act, he said, and speak is how you will live. And it's also how you will command respect. Well, I didn't go into a career in business, obviously, but I remembered that sentiment that my professor imparted to us. Positivity, forward thinking, self-sufficiency. And then I started digging deeper into the Bible. At first in seminary classes and then through the process of preaching and teaching Bible studies, and I discovered that the Bible is a collection of stories and adventures, of songs and fantasies that indeed often tell a great story of a great God, of a great people praising and blessing together for success and prosperity and abundant life. Abraham is blessed to be a blessing. Jacob is the father of many nations. Moses defeats Pharaoh and frees the people of God. David slays Goliath to become king. And Jesus feeds the multitude, heals the sick, raises the dead, and defeats the powers of evil forever. These and other stories in the scriptures are those that deserve a praise God or a bless the Lord, O my soul. But then Genesis 3:10. I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid myself. And in Mark chapter 3, whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness. Or Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Hear my voice. The scriptures contain much more than a story of success and victory. They tell the stories of countless individuals who struggle with pain and rejection, darkness and uncertainty. The story of Adam and Eve in the garden is one about confusion and doubt, more than a story of how people messed up and got kicked out of God's perfect paradise. It's a story of why, when it seems that so much is going so well for so many around me, why does my life seem to be one on the outside looking in? Why do I feel alone? Why is life often a struggle against the forces of depression, hopelessness, and fear? The psalmist reflects the same despair, recognizing that there are times and places in life when praise the Lord is replaced with, God, have you forgotten me? I met with some folks this past week who experienced the death of both parents over the last few months. These were not victims of COVID, as so many have in our world, so many in our world have been this past year. But to lose a parent or any beloved is hard, more so both parents in such a short time. And even though both parents had grown old together and even longed to be free of the pains of this life, the grief was still strong. Strong enough to bring tears of sorrow. We spoke about these beautiful souls and how many blessings they brought to the world and also how they now are free of pain and together in the glory of God in Christ, smiles and nods around the table, assurances of hope. Yeah, but one of the daughters said, that doesn't make it hurt any less. And my mind remembered the psalm for today. Hear my voice, O God. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Mr. Kinsey was right and honest and true. We must resist the urge to wallow in our fears and our failings. We are responsible for our own actions and disposition in life. I've met too many people who blame the pains of their lives on so many others. And honestly, it's futile to help them move forward if they won't accept ownership of their own feelings. The blame still, it seems, gets passed from man to woman to serpent. Even God is made to carry the codependent emotional baggage of humanity. But I don't think Mr. Kinsey had the complete answer to the problem of suffering. The answer cannot be man up. It cannot be look on the bright side. And pulling yourself up by your bootstraps sometimes still leaves you standing knee-deep in mud. Do you know that more than half of the Psalms in the Bible are Psalms of lament? Of the 150 Psalms that we have in Scripture, over 100 are cries of pain and grief. Psalms like today's number 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. It's an indication that not only that people from the beginning of time have used song and verse to express the pain of life, but also that our ancestors in the faith saw fit to allow the grief of life to be expressed in Scripture. as the Word of God. The humans of the garden sure do find themselves in a place of confusion and grief. The psalmist even cries out, even the people of Jesus' day can't see through the compassion of the one who came to save the world, but rather hide behind the fear that he must have a demon. If I had the chance to go back and have a conversation with Mr. Kinsey, I think I'd ask him to tell me what he felt in the depth of his captivity to alcohol. What was the cry of your heart when your wife threatened to leave you? What did you think when your kids realized they couldn't depend on you? And what about the times when business deals didn't work out or success meant barely being able to buy some macaroni and cheese? These are the moments that allow us to recognize that while we might be able to fake it from time to time, the final truth is that only when we cry out to God, only when we trust not in the words of the serpents of our world or the closest companions even sometimes, but upon the Word of God alone, and then we will be able to praise God for the abundant blessings of life. Paul writes in the Corinthians, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Of course, before God can raise us with Jesus, we must also die with Jesus. But then the psalmist writes, and we declare, with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with the Lord there is plenteous redemption. Praise the Lord indeed. Amen.